Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. What's up, everybody? Happy Monday. Good to be with you. Hope you had a great weekend. Man, we got a lot of stuff to get to. This is gonna be a fun week, man. We got mandatory minicamp. We got a Casario sighting later this week on the show on Thursday. That's going to be fun. You texted me this morning. I woke up to a Seth Payne text, and Seth had all kinds of juice, man, about how we got a busy week coming up this week.
It's the second week of June, and there's a whole lot going on. I find myself a little bit overwhelmed, but in a good way.
Hell yeah.
When you go to Disney World as a kid, you're like, oh, there's so many activities. I got to do all this stuff.
Yeah.
We got OTAs. We got the Astros. Somehow still winning games despite refusing to score runs. Various young pitchers performing well.
Right.
Sometimes to no avail.
But then you pull out the map, or you pull out the app in this case. You take a look at the wait times. And you go, all right, kids, let's calm down. Let's stay organized here. Let's head over to Adventureland, and we'll start there. Adventureland is the Astros right now. We'll start there. We'll get to Nick Chubb in the second segment of the show. That's exciting, too. At least in name, it's exciting. We'll see.
Nick Chubb is exciting. Also, just over the weekend, it's one of these things that was weird. Last week, as we debated about whether C.J. Stroud did have surgery, didn't have surgery, Aaron Wilson had quietly reported on his YouTube and nowhere else in print that C.J. Stroud, according to four sources, did not have surgery this offseason, which it's a masterful job by Aaron Wilson. I think I realized, I got to watch his YouTube every single day.
Yeah.
I think he put that out there. He didn't tweet about it. He didn't put it in the articles that he wrote or anything else like that.
That's true.
Which I'm kind of glad, because we got to have just 18 discussions about it on Friday. But Aaron Wilson had already reported on his YouTube and his YouTube alone that there was no surgery for C.J. Stroud.
Dude, yeah, we have all this. Hell, Friday night at 9 o'clock at night, a courtroom in California completely restructured the way the college sports landscape is going to work. I'm trying to slot
things. I don't know
what
the hell you're talking about.
I'm trying to slot things, and I'm like, I guess we'll get to this at 8 o'clock. Schools are going to be able to pay guys directly now. Schools are going to have salary caps and stuff like that.
This is going to be a beautiful show where the text line is going to be constantly filled with people who just tuned in and are saying, I can't believe you guys are not talking about this. I can't believe you're not talking about that. Yeah.
Yep.
There's a lot going on, everybody. Take out your ballpoint pen and take notes.
Let's start with the Astros, because yesterday, going into yesterday, and the Astros lose yesterday 4-2, but they take 2 out of 3. I would have signed up for 2 out of 3, however they got there at the beginning of the weekend. That's fine. I didn't like seeing the, a little bullpen meltdown be the reason why, especially with it was Okert, who came in completely clutch the day before. Came in, bases loaded, kind of fished Hunter Brown's mess out of the fire in the sixth inning on Saturday. 2 strikeouts with the bases loaded to get out of the sixth. The Astros go on to win in extra innings, 5-3 on Saturday. That was really cool. Some clutch performances there. And then Okert comes in yesterday, and he's fielding his position like he's me. You know, he's throwing the ball. Throwing the ball away, two runs are scoring.
You, sir, are no Ryan Stanek.
Yeah, as much
as I think that every time I want to call you Ryan Stanek, no.
Looks like him a little bit.
You have to earn that river rat appearance of yours.
But my feeling going into yesterday's game, Seth, this was a lineup they put out there with no Altuve. He got the day off, like the full day off, like didn't even use him as a pinch hitter at the end of the game when it would have been, might have made sense to pinch hit him for Jacob Melton. They had a lineup with no Altuve, no Alvarez. They had three or four guys who were in Sugarland within the last few weeks in the lineup, if not at some point this season. And they had Brandon Walter starting, who's making his second start for the Astros, and he's pitched a total of like 30 innings in the big leagues. And it was one of those things where I'm like, man, if you had told me, like if I'm sitting there on March 30th, or if you and I are at spring training or whatever, and someone comes swooping in from the future and says, hey, you know what their lineup is going to be on June 8th? Here you go. Here it is. And it's Brandon Walter, who I didn't know who he was when the Astros called him up. And then a lineup that has no Alvarez, no Altuve. And I'm looking at some of the averages on the guys that are in this lineup, like Christian Walker batting third with a .210 batting average. And the person from the future said, what place do you think that team is in? I would not have thought that they went into that day 3.5 games. They're 2.5 up now. But I would not have thought they would have been 3.5 games up and in first place on June the 8th. And I said to myself, you know what? We criticized, certainly last year during the start for this team in 2024, we criticized Joe Espada quite a bit. I got to give Joe Espada a little bit of credit here, man. That he's got a team that had as Timu a lineup out there as they had yesterday with Brandon Walter starting. And I don't care that it's – I really don't care within the context of what I'm saying right now that it's a bad division. Joe Espada is doing a hell of a job with this team this year right now.
Yeah, and I think with Brandon Walter too, as far as, you know, with the schedule he's been on and just in the Rays game, he came in and did really well. Like he's sitting – for whatever it's worth, on a 1.64 ERA. To get five and then six innings out of him twice this year, it's these are the performances that you hopefully can lean into your bullpen for, because the bullpen just has so much pressure on them.
Yeah.
And they got the two wins where Dubin had come into this series with like a .77 ERA.
Yeah.
And he lets up a couple of solo home runs. I don't look at this as like, oh no, now everything's falling apart. I think he's still doing very, very well for what you would have expected of him earlier this season. The bullpen, I still feel rock solid about. It's just, man, you got to keep putting this hodgepodge of players together.
God, if they can just score runs. I mean, this was a series, and again, they took two out of three. So I'm not here to be angry this morning. I wish Okert had fielded his position a little better yesterday. Wish they'd come up with some clutch hits. I wish they'd come up with any hits. They had seven hits yesterday. Four of them were by Jake Meyers, and none of them were hard hit baseballs. You know, they were all loopers and whatnot. But they got five innings of one run ball out of Colton Gordon on Friday. He gets his. I think he got the win in that one. He pitched five really good innings on Friday. And then they got Brandon Walter giving you six solid innings. I mean, the pitching staff is doing its job right now, man. They are doing its job. They got to get Yordan Alvarez back.
I said earlier, you know, they took two or three despite their insistence on not scoring runs. You might say, well, they scored four and five runs in those first. Yeah, the average output is four runs per game. It's gotten to feel with this team like, oh, five runs? Wow.
Well, that was extra
innings.
Wow,
what a surge.
It was two of them were in the 10th inning where you get a free guy on second
right,
base.
Right, exactly. Yes.
You know
yes.
what I mean? Those, the extra yeah. inning. There's a reason they're unearned, the extra
which is,
inning
again,
runs.
Yeah, the five runs, it does. It's like, yeah, remember, in regulation innings, it was you're still below average.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of texts early here in the show. No worries, gentlemen. Just keep winning series. That's how I feel. That's how I feel, except starting tomorrow. Sweep the White Sox, though. They got three with the White Sox coming up this week. Sweep the White Sox. Please. Didn't the White Sox take two out of three from them up in Chicago? I know they won at least one game against them. No. You sweep the White Sox. I'm cool with winning the other series. The White Sox are dregs right now.
It's a scrappy bunch, man.
It's a scrappy
I think, and
bunch.
Honestly, the less radio friendly conversation, but the thing that endures with this Astros team is that you got to tip your cap to the coaching and the development of the organization at large.
Yeah.
Because they have, man, over the last couple of years, they have had to rely on a whole bunch of, hey, nice to meet you type of guys, or under-heralded guys or prospects that weren't quite ready to come up, perhaps, and scrap it together. So, yeah, you're 100% right. I'm not going to whine and complain too much. about a series in which he took two of the three games.
Right, right, right. And if, man, if you look ahead, you look at the schedule, like they've got a little under 100 games left. They've got one of the easiest schedules in baseball. They do not play many teams with a winning record, like the rest of throughout the summer and into the fall. Like they're set up really nice once they get Yordan back. And we did get a little bit of Yordan news yesterday. Dana Brown, I believe, on the radio broadcast, maybe on the pregame, said that Yordan's getting ready to pick up a bat again. So
right, which I mean,
I'm just saying that's the report. That's
and
all.
Again, I just so go back to okay. The organization that couldn't even identify that there was a break at all is now telling us, hey, it's 60% healed right now. Once it gets to 70%, then we're off to the races and he can play. Yeah. All right, I'm gonna trust you that you guys can figure out the difference between 60 and 70% when you didn't know it was there at all.
I don't trust this organization to know how fast they're driving their car. And you may say, Sean, there's a speedometer right there. When it comes to the medical side, there's a speedometer. I know. I don't trust them to read it.
It feels like Homer Simpson at the nuclear power plant. You know, oh crap. How do we avert this meltdown? I don't know. Ask Homer Simpson. He'll tell you. Meanwhile, let me finish this donut.
Yeah, they got a box of donuts. That's
why they couldn't spot the break the first time because Homer Simpson is the radiologist, and he had confectioner's sugar had sprinkled all over the MRI.
Forrest Whitley DFA'd to make room for Brandon Walter over the weekend, Seth. What was your emotional reaction to what in likelihood is the end of Forrest Whitley as an Astro? In the next 7 days, they either need to trade him or waive him. And I would expect if he hits the waiver wire, just based on there being a lot of bad teams out there that might have room for a former first-round pick who has some decent stuff, that he's going to get picked up by somebody.
Some decent stuff that will get you a 12 ERA at various times.
That's what I'm told. He's got decent stuff.
I tell you, it's an indication of this society, and we've lost our ability to commit to things. You can't give him another. You can't give him another decade to figure it out.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That is wild.
I feel bad. The kid's just, he's cursed. He's got, his body won't keep it together. Nope. And then when his body is kept together, his arm won't keep it together. I don't even want to say good riddance or anything. It's not like he was a bane on our existence. It's just, Whitley. Willie's here for a lot of, he was in the organization for a lot of, the entire golden era.
He was, that's
about
true.
That?
That's true. Yeah, he was.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
Nobody wants to talk, he was around. You know,
they haven't won a World Series without Forrest Whitley in the organization.
In the organization, yes, that's true. You know what, Seth? I hope he clears waivers and they bring him back and he's in the minor league system. It's just, for a former first round pick who's had this long saga, I mean, it's, like you go read his Wikipedia page and it is a baseball story, man. Like drug suspensions, Tommy John surgery, injuries galore, ups and downs, this and that. Finally makes it after 8 years, pitches a few scoreless outings last year, got racked a few times this year. And I said yesterday, man, for this whole thing to end with him getting DFA'd to make room for a nondescript minor leaguer to make a spot start is like Darth Vader dying by slipping on a banana peel or something like that.
Oh, yeah, or Al Capone going to jail for tax evasion.
Jaywalking.
Al Capone did go to jail for tax evasion, and you're like, oh, all right. That doesn't make for as good a movie. The accountant's going to play a big role in this movie, The Untouchables.
What about the corpses? What about all the corpses? Yeah.
So when does Kevin Costner take him down by gunfire? It's actually the nerdy accountant that did it. Going back to the golden era, and in 2017, if you can imagine, I can't remember what we were all thinking except that, hey, they just won a World Series, and look at Forrest Whitley. He had a 2.83 ERA across three and playing in three different leagues or three different levels of the minor leagues.
He was the number one pitching prospect in minor league baseball in 2019. Yeah. Even with the drug suspension, he was still considered an elite prospect, and then Tommy John surgery was probably about the time things started to really turn for him, but man.
Yeah. The most depressing thing when looking at his stats is that you look at, he had a 2.83 ERA in 2017. He had a, in 2019 across four teams, he had the 12 ERA? I think it was when he had the 8.15 ERA.
8.15, yeah. 12 was this year.
But then he doesn't have any stats again until 2022.
He disappeared off the face of the earth Tommy
for three
John?
Freaking years.
Yeah, Tommy John surgery. Ask Lance McCullers, man. That'll do it to you. All right, Payne and Pendergast, off and running on a Monday. We do. We got a lot of stuff to get to. Okay, Nick Chubb, a Houston Texan. That is the report, assuming he passes a physical today. So what does this mean for the running back room? What does this mean for where the Texans are at in terms of how they're looking at this season? All that. We'll look at all the angles with a potential Nick Chubb signing, and we'll do that coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. Hope you had a great weekend, and looks like there is a high likelihood that Nick Chubb becomes a Houston Texan running back from Cleveland, who had several great years in Cleveland, and then injuries the last couple years have really robbed him of those two seasons. A catastrophic knee injury 2 years ago, able to come back from that last season, but then broke a foot late in the season, and last year was the first season where you look at his numbers and you go, okay, well, that looks like a guy who might be a shell of what he used to be. I did not realize how amazing Nick Chubb's numbers had been for the Cleveland Browns when he was healthy. He didn't have a season where he was under 5 yards a carry.
Right.
In the first 4 or 5 years of his career, he was amazing.
And he ends up last year having 3.3 yards per carry.
Yeah.
Which does annoy me. Anybody who's read any of the articles about this signing, they just kind of lump in and they say, well, in the last 2 years, he's averaged 3.9 yards per carry. That's bogus because in 2023, before he got injured, he was running just as well as he's ever run. He was above 5 yards per carry as well. Last year, it was everything. And it wasn't just because he was on a bad Browns team. He'd been on bad Browns teams before. His yards after contact were much, much lower. He was at 2.5 yards after contact per attempt last year, where previously in his career, it was 4 yards after contact. Some people point out that he was hit behind the line of scrimmage a lot. Sometimes that's what happens when a guy is less explosive than he used to be too, and you're not hitting the hole as hard. Yeah. So he just wasn't, he wasn't the same guy. This, in a lot of ways, feels like the Cam Akers signing, if they sign, where you're going to get him on a good deal, likely a one-year deal, a lot of incentives. Diana Russini reported that he had better offers of more money elsewhere, and yet he feels like this is the best situation for him. And that makes me feel like, yes, this is the best situation for him. You're getting, if he hits those incentives, then God bless him, it was worth everything. If it doesn't work out, then just like, I mean, with Cam Akers, it worked out. You ended up getting draft compensation for him. But the upside, I think, is higher than it was even for Cam Akers.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. Like, you're not going to get peak Nick Chubb again, I don't think. But if you get a healthy percentage of peak Nick Chubb and he's over the broken foot and he's now 2 years removed from the knee injury. Here was Jeremy Fowler was the first one that I saw have this news yesterday. And it was on SportsCenter. Here was Jeremy Fowler with the first report on the Texans and Nick Chubb's mutual interest in one another.
Nick Chubb, free agent, one of the top free agent names still out there. I was told that he's hoping to sign here soon, and maybe he gets something done before a minicamp, gets into a team, four-time Pro Bowler. The return to Cleveland's not totally off the table from what I'm told, but probably unlikely because of their draft plans. They drafted multiple running backs. I'm told Houston could be one to watch here. They've been looking at that running back market, maybe adding somebody with Joe Mixon.
Okay.
Yeah, so, it developed very quickly yesterday, because that was yesterday morning.
Yep.
And then within a few hours, Jordan Schultz and Diana Russini and probably others, so those are the two I saw, basically said, no, this is expected to happen as long as he passes the physical.
Yep.
And probably it'll happen on Monday.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah, today. In town today, take the physical, and then hopefully that will be fun. You know, if you get Nick Chubb. Now, I guess, okay, two interesting things here. There's probably more than that, but two that are just popping into my head as you and I are talking this through. I would love to know who the other teams were that were offering Nick Chubb more money to where he saw this as an opportunity to come here for less money. Because let's face it, I would imagine, and if Nick Chubb signs with the Texans, we'll get a chance to ask him this at some point. But what's his motivation? You know, is this a 1 year prove it deal where he's expecting, if he has a good season, I don't think someone's going to fork over $20 million for him or something like that, but he gets one last good contract from somebody. I guess my question, Seth, is what would make this an enticing situation in which to take less money in what could be an incentive laden contract when you consider that A, Joe Mixon is here, and B, Joe Mixon did a lot of what he did last year on his own. It was not because of the blocking up front.
Yeah, the positives are, I think, specifically Joe Mixon. Because I think, I'm guessing Nick Chubb, after the year he had last year and after he had that devastating injury 2 years ago, he doesn't, I think he probably realistically looks at it and is, I can't be expected to get 25 carries per game. I don't want to get 25 carries per game. I just want to go out and get back what I had on a one-year deal, and I can do it alongside a guy who is a workhorse, but that I'm going to get my reps, and I can fit in seamlessly to this offense. Right, the downside is, man, that offensive line last year was not doing much for Joe Mixon. He had to do it on his own.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting to see if Nick Chubb signs, and after he talks to the media, who on the Texans did he talk to? I mean, Kamari Lassiter is a Georgia guy that probably has posters up, probably had posters up on his wall Nick Chubb as his senior year in high school.
Yeah.
So, and whoever else the common ties are, I think it's the CJ Stroud, it's Joe Mixon being here. A lot of times people might think, well, why would Nick Chubb want to go where there's already an established running back? In this situation, he wants to go specifically because there's an established running back. This is a prove it year for him. If he had conversations with Nick Cayley or D'Amico Ryans about just what they're planning to do on offense this year, it probably just felt like, all right, I like these guys' upside.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a little, as we kind of talk it through, it reminds me a little of Dalton Schultz signing his 1 year. I'm not saying Dalton Schultz before getting here was what Nick Chubb was in Cleveland, but when Dalton Schultz signed here, it was before they'd even drafted CJ Stroud. When Schultz signed here, it was a bit of a bet on D'Amico Ryans and Nick Caserio, probably Bobby Slowick a little bit. Similarly, I think if this is Nick Chubb coming in. And this is a bit of a bet on Nick Haley and Cole Popovich to some degree with Nick Chubb, right? You know, so it's a little bit of unknown in a prove-it contract.
Yeah, and I think that with Mixon, too, it's... I hope he didn't just think, oh, yeah, it's D'Amico Ryans. He came from San Francisco. Our offense is very similar to San Francisco, so it'll be the same offense. Because I don't think it's going to be.
No.
It's going to be a lot more like a New England offense. And I doubt he thought about it that way. But I think that's kind of like the knee-jerk, oh, yeah, they run like a they're trying to be San Francisco, and that's very similar to Chicago, to Cleveland's scheme. I don't think it's as – it's not as basic as that. It's more basic in that – I like the people who are in charge. I like the idea of being sharing carries with Joe Mixon, and I like CJ Stroud.
Is there a dollar amount? I mean, it sounds like it's going to be a one-year deal. Is there a one-year deal? Is there
I'm guessing it's like this is my pure and total guess.
Yeah,
I'm guessing it's like $4 million with a boatload of incentives.
I think so too. And what I was going to ask you was, is there a dollar amount where you would cringe a little bit and go, "Ooh, that's a little too much for Nick Chubb"?
If it was $10 million,
yeah, I think
or
so.
Something
so,
like that.
Yeah,
it says Diana Rossini says it's going to be an incentive-laden contract.
Yeah.
And that tickles me where I like to be tickled.
Yeah, I mean, Mixon's making like $9 million. There's no way he's making more than Mixon. You know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So it's I think you nailed it. I think it's.
I guess it might be what are the incentives? If the incentives, because whatever you feel about the Texans and how aggressive they should be, Caserio's done a really good job of managing the cap. Where yes, he has given out all of these like huge guarantees, et cetera, et cetera. But they're shorter-term contracts, and if you go out 2 years from now, in 2027, the Texans have one of the best cap situations in the league.
Yep.
So they have a lot of flexibility to kind of push money off into the future, and it's not irresponsibly so. So if the incentives are something like he's on the roster and he gets this and that and that, I'll be a little disappointed.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's a lot more performance-based.
I bet it's both. I bet it's, is he on the game day roster? And then he's got probably season incentives for yards and things like that, if I had to guess.
One of the other things that a lot of people I've seen bring up, and I did a live stream on this last night, a lot of people brought up, man, he's got such a reputation as just the right kind of guy.
Yep.
Works his butt off, like cares about the team, all those things that... And I think Chubb is the classic guy that I don't think you would have had a Myles Garrett type situation. I know he had a little bit of a contract leveraging there a couple years ago.
Yeah.
But it seems like he wanted to do right by the team and his teammates. And I think he's a good guy to have in that locker room.
I think a lot of times, and we'll play this in the 7 o'clock hour, but a lot of times you can gauge what kind of guy it was at least by how the city that's losing him is reacting. They hate this in Cleveland. They hate this in Cleveland. There were people in Cleveland that knew he was a shell of his former self, but just wanted him back on the team because he's Nick Chubb.
Because he's the right kind of guy.
I think
there's. I'm guessing there are a lot of people in Cleveland that are like, all right, you guys bent over backwards for Myles Garrett, who's awesome and everything, but man, I just I don't feel the same way about him that I do about Nick Chubb.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We'll get to that in the 7 o'clock hour. Aaron Wilson had a really good sit down with CJ Gardner-Johnson over the weekend. I don't know if it was over the weekend or how recently it was, but the quotes in the video started dropping this weekend from the interview. Ben, we may need to skip around a little bit here. The most interesting quote to me was, let's do CJ Gardner-Johnson too, Ben. On his new team, CJ Gardner-Johnson was not at OTAs. His explanation as to why he missed voluntary OTAs with his new team.
The week I was there, it was very, very closer than the places I've been before. Because this is a brand new organization. We're trying to be the first team to put a bull on the ring. That's something that, you know, with this organization, we're really 10 years in here, really, not really crazy, you know, what, 10 plus, 15, really, not really too many years, so... I had to step back. I'm too much sometimes. And I think coming off a Super Bowl, it's a little too much for guys who, you know, feel like they're at the top of their profession right now because of who they are. And that's respectable. So me, I had to step back and I had to humble up because now I'm at the bottom of the mountain with a team that never went to the top. So I can't come at the top of the mountain, bring a top of the mountain to the bottom of the mountain. I can't do that.
Okay, so just to explain the beginning there, he was here for a week back in April. He did media. Remember, he had his hat. He had his Cam Newton hat. But basically what he's saying, the way I hear that, Seth, is C.J. Gardner-Johnson is admitting that maybe he can be a little bit extra. He can be a little too much.
But almost like that, because he's coming from a place where almost he's come off an experience that's too good. And I don't know if the Texans are ready to handle everything that I bring.
Yeah.
Hey, I can't give this kid his first beer and then give him his chased by black tar heroin.
Yeah.
They can't handle exactly the me in my purest form.
Oh,
yes. We need to ease them into me.
I love that. And I, you know what? I give him a complete pass for it as well. Good job. Good self-awareness, C.J. Gardner-Johnson.
It's funny how this goes by various teams and whatever situation guys are in. When it comes to OTAs, it's weird. It's almost arbitrary when people make a big deal out of an OTA, a voluntary OTA absence or not. Because there are multiple other veteran players, especially on the defensive line, that weren't there for voluntary OTAs. And I don't think for injury purposes or whatever. They're just veterans exercising their rights. By and large, it's usually not a big deal. But when a guy just got traded for and he's got a reputation, or at least eyebrows raised about like, hey, what kind of guy is this? Then it starts to get more attention. But for whatever it's worth, nobody really focused in on the fact that C.J. Gardner-Johnson wasn't out there last week.
I think fans in general have gotten more forgiving for guys missing OTAs. And I think this era of Texans football, D'Amico doesn't seem as worked up as maybe previous head coaches might have been about guys missing the voluntary part of things.
They've all gotten the memo, and teams have been fined if they are critical of any veterans.
Yeah.
So they try really hard to not.
Yeah, that's true.
To at least act like, no,
that's a good
it's
point.
Voluntary,
maybe
of
it's
course,
different.
Yeah.
Maybe the chatter behind the scenes is different than what he's saying in front of a microphone. That's fair. I don't really care. Like, I think, you know, tomorrow will be the big one. You know, if they're missing the mandatory stuff, then something's up.
That is the one that that's way more consistent. When guys miss mandatory minicamp, with Aaron Rodgers last year, people are more inclined to be like, hey, what the hell, man?
Yeah, exactly.
And then we start caring about the money they're missing out on.
That's right.
How could you hate this team so much that you're giving up $300,000 or whatever it is?
I tell you this, though. Someone tweeted yesterday, I guess Lamar Jackson, some of these guys have bonuses built in if they do show up for the voluntary stuff. And I guess Lamar Jackson's got like a $750,000 workout bonus if he shows up for the voluntary stuff, and he doesn't show up for it. $750,000, dude. I know you make $60 million a year, but $750,000.
And people ask, like, why would they even put that into the contract? I saw a lot of people criticizing Lamar Jackson or wondering whether he should have an agent or something. Some of it just comes down to the team has a policy that they're going to put those workout bonuses in, and they're not like, okay, it's going to be in there.
Yeah.
And the player knows it up front and already has already figured, no, I'm not going to do that.
That's right.
I don't know if there's any amount of money. I don't think if I were a billionaire, I could turn down the $750,000
to show up for workouts.
Yeah. Easy to say when you're not a billionaire.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things I say I would do if I were a billionaire that I know are bogus. But this one, I feel like I actually would.
I promise you, I would. Well, if I became one from, like, there was a time in my radio career that I had like $170 in my checking account. So just knowing that I experienced that, I'd be like, on principle, I've got to go to this $750,000 thing, especially at like a foundation or something like that. Like, you give it to your charity.
Whatever. Yeah, just give it. Yeah, yeah.
You know? Like, I don't know,
but they're also.
I don't want to paint
much.
Lamar Jackson as the devil or anything like that. But
at the same time, when you put yourself in that, like, okay, they're also making that much in interest over any given period of time. So,
yeah.
And I'm giving the money to charity. I just, whatever. Yeah.
I understand. Lamar Jackson's time is more valuable than mine on an hourly basis. I get that. I totally understand that.
You know what he'd say? You could say, hey, this $750,000 is money that just goes back into the salary cap, so I'm helping the team out.
That's actually true.
Yeah, I am giving you $750,000 extra to just go ahead and spend on other players.
Which is way easier to do if you play for the Ravens, a team that makes really good decisions with the salary cap. You're playing for like any of like 25 other teams. You'd be like, all right. Here you go.
Boy, that is a whole other topic, by the way. I mean, that's when guys like Pat Mahomes signed the deal they did, which was very team-friendly.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to say, look, I'm willing to take less if you trust that they're going to do the right thing
with
the money.
Yeah.
It's like it's like loaning money to your, you know, one friend who's a solid citizen versus your other friend who's a gambling addict.
He's a crackhead or something.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, okay, no, I'm just I don't trust giving you this money.
Yeah, a lot of crackheads on these GM streets in the NFL, man. I'm just telling you. All right, Payne and Pendergast.
They tend to be with the Arizona Cardinals.
Payne and Pendergast. I'm not literal. Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. All right, we'll get to headlines. Astros, Texans, NBA Finals. We got a lot to get to in headlines. We'll do that next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines, presented by Men's Tea Clinic.
All right, let's start headlines with the Houston Astros. They take 2 out of 3 from the Cleveland Guardians. They are 2.5 games up in the American League West over the Seattle Mariners. Chance for a sweep yesterday didn't happen. They lose. The Astros lose 4-2 on Sunday. But I would say the big positive coming out of that is that you got a really nice start out of Brandon Walter. He started 2 games for you now. He pitched 5 shutout innings against the Rays, and he gave you 6 innings yesterday, where really his only mistake, he gave up a 2-run home run, and that was it. And on, you know, most any other average major league game, that's a good enough outing easily to get you a win. I think, Seth, you combine that with Colton Gordon's outing on Friday, and Colton Gordon's had a few more outings than Walter has, so this has been more of a steady progression for Colton Gordon to get to this. But Gordon gave you 5 innings, a 1-run ball, looked really good on Friday. The words 6-man rotation are not nearly as scary right now as they might have been, you know, 2-3 weeks ago.
And I didn't really gauge the fan base's reaction when they found out that Lance McCullers was going to get moved one day back in the rotation or not. Because I guess in the absence of any report, which we would obviously get from the Astros if anybody had any kind of an injury situation.
Tongue in cheek, everybody.
It does make sense. Okay, steady as she goes with Lance. Things are looking good. He's gone deeper into games than maybe they had planned on originally. Or at least he's pitched more pitches. Hopefully
he's up near 100 pitches a game. Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably not ideal. So I think the most likely explanation is just that, yes, they're being very careful with him unless we hear something different.
I think so, too. Well, especially when you factor in they get today off. So, you know, by pushing him back, he's basically getting 2 days off by pushing him back.
And it looks brilliant. And Brandon Walter is going against a team that is just miserable, miserable, miserable against lefties.
Yeah.
So it made a lot of sense.
Yes, and that's a good point.
And it worked out. So even though it worked out from the pitching standpoint yesterday, it's just that these Astros every now and then, they feel like this is the problem. It was one day after Hunter Brown, and everybody's in the mode of like, oh, Hunter's out there. If we score one run, we'll probably be fine. Okay, cool. We needed five, but still, we'll be fine. Yeah. Not everybody's Hunter Brown, okay?
No, that was kind of a ratchet lineup yesterday. So they take two out of three on the road against a team, Cleveland, that's I haven't looked at the standings. I don't know if they're in the playoffs right now if the season ended, but they're in that hunt with everybody else. It's a good baseball team. That's a nice series win right there on the road. Astros off today, back at it tomorrow against the White Sox at home.
I'll tell you the other thing that I was thinking yesterday is there's no way in hell I'm ever going to go through and research this, except that there was a lot of smoke. There's a lot of smoke in the air from these Canadian wildfires, forest fires. And the last time that I remember them playing while there was smoke in the air from wildfires, it was in the extra innings game in Seattle.
Yeah.
That's the excuse I give them. Are they a below average offense? Of course they are, except it's really, really hard when you've got this haze of smoke in the air.
That, you know what? I like that. And because neither team was great offensively in this series. Wildfires. I like it, Seth.
Yes. Yeah, I blame the wildfires.
I'm with you on that one.
And yet I still credit the pitching.
I mean, the hitting wildfires, but Walter, man, he was on point.
The Guardians have had to deal with this smoke in previous seasons.
That's true.
From the Canadian
They've
wildfires.
Adapted.
So they're more, yes, yes,
They've
yes.
adapted. Meanwhile, the other bit of Astros news, Forrest Whitley, DFA, designated for assignment by the team. That is baseball parlance for cut. What were you going to say? You got a giddy look on your face.
It was Forrest Whitley. I feel bad that I'm just so flippant about it. It's been 9 years.
Yeah.
You know, what do you expect? I got so tired of seeing him at the top of the list of the Astros prospects for so long when we hadn't seen him in two or three seasons. At one point, he was still the number one prospect in the Astros system. It's time to move on.
They moved on yesterday. They needed the spot to bring up Brandon Walter to start that game yesterday. So now the process begins with Whitley, where the team has a week to either trade him or put him on waivers. My feeling is if they put him on waivers, some team is going to pick him up just based on he's a former first-round pick who still showed some flashes of potential recently. There's a lot of bad teams with roster spots better used on a scratch off of Forrest Whitley than whatever scrub is on the team right now.
In this immediate moment, the only teams that I care about him not going to and then all of a sudden coming into his own are the Cubs and the Red Sox.
Okay.
Those are the only ones. I don't need any of those fan bases being able to say like,
we got your guys.
Yeah, look at what, yeah.
That's
yeah.
fair.
By the way, the Guardians are a half game out of the wild card.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah, so they're in the mix. Here was Joe Espada yesterday before the game on the Forrest Whitley DFA.
Difficult decision, based on how hard he's worked to get to the big leagues, the battle through injuries. But this is the part of the business that we got to make tough decisions. And that was a tough one.
All right. So there you go. That was Joe Espada.
He seems like a hell of a guy, you know. It sucks for Forrest Whitley.
Yeah.
He seems like a good guy.
Yep.
Yeah, Espada too, Sean.
I didn't know if you were talking about Espada. They're both good guys.
Yeah.
I wish Forrest Whitley the best. No, look, he may be back in the Astros minor league system if nobody picks him up off of waivers. He doesn't have enough service time to say, I want to be a free agent. So he may be right back at Sugarland at some point here. I would guess a team's going to pick him up. We'll know in the next few days. Meanwhile, we talked about this in the previous segment. We'll talk about it again in the 7 o'clock hour. It looks like the Texans are on the cusp of signing running back Nick Chubb. Here was Jeremy Fowler yesterday on SportsCenter on ESPN saying that there may be a mutual interest here between the player and the team.
Nick Chubb, free agent, one of the top free agent names still out there. I was told that he's hoping to sign here soon, and maybe he gets something done before a minicamp, gets into a team, four-time Pro Bowler. The return to Cleveland's not totally off the table from what I'm told, but probably unlikely because of their draft plans. They drafted multiple running backs. I'm told Houston could be one to watch here. They've been looking at that running back market, maybe adding somebody with Joe Mixon.
Okay, and since then, that was yesterday morning. Since then, there have been multiple reports that Mixon's in town today to take a physical. If he passes a physical, he could sign. And my guess, Seth, is he brought enough clothes to stick around for minicamp the next 2 days. If I had
right,
to guess.
Yeah, it'd be a surprise. He's going to be out there at least.
Yeah.
So if he signs today, I'm guessing he'll be out there. Who knows in what capacity?
Yep.
He played last year. He was a shell of his former self. But he was also just 1 year removed from that catastrophic knee injury,
knee injury.
In 2023. Yeah. So in a way, if it works out for Nick Chubb, it also gives you a little bit of a ray of hope for Tank Dell, you know, perhaps coming back. If Nick Chubb comes back this year and plays really well and closer to his former self, it's for the position that Nick Chubb plays and the style that he played with, if he ever gets back to close to that form, it's going to be a coup.
We should point out that he finished last year injured as well. He broke a foot during the season, so there's another injury that he was dealing with at the end of last season. So we'll see, we'll see what he looks like. The workout videos have looked good, but those look good with a lot of guys, so we'll see.
I've seen some people irresponsibly say that, this will be the most powerful and dynamic backfield in the league. There is that upside, but this is why he's going to get an incentive-laden deal that, according to Diana Russini, is less than he was offered by other teams. Last year, he was 3.3 yards per carry, and you can't blame it on the Browns' offensive line. There's more to it than that.
Yeah, there were a few texters texting in earlier. Best 1-2 punch since we had Arian Foster and Ben Tate, which may be true, but it's probably largely because this team has not had two really good running backs on the team since then. They've had one at times.
Yeah, and I don't mean to dampen your enthusiasm, but the reality, not you, Sean, but anybody else, the reality check is that last year he wasn't his former self, and it's like last year he was not nearly as good as Ben Tate at his peak.
Yep.
So but you're not going to likely pay a lot to get him. So the upside, this is like a Cam Akers deal from last year, except with a higher upside.
Yep.
I'm very excited about it.
I think it's going to be a 1 year deal for a few million bucks and with some incentives, and let's go. Let's see what happens. We should point out Joe Mixon was in a walking boot recently,
I don't think this is a death knell to Dameon Pierce. I think Dameon Pierce is going into training camp where they're going to very much give him a legitimate chance to prove that he can be more what he was in Pep Hamilton's offense.
Probably, yeah. Yeah. It makes the running back room interesting, though, because they got a logjam there now. You know, we'll talk more about this in the 7 o'clock hour. They've got Mixon, who's not going anywhere. They've got Chubb, who, if he plays well in camp, he's going to be on the team. You just mentioned Pierce. They drafted Woody Marks. I think he's got a spot if he plays well. Dario Gumbawale, they like a lot on special teams and as sort of an emergency guy. And I think this team's going to have a fullback on the team, too, the way that Nick Caley wants to run the offense. So somebody's going to be out either via trade or on the street at some point.
And I think there's a genuine fullback competition between Jacob Johnson and British Brooks. And British can play running back as well, but I think if he's going to have a future in the NFL, he did some really promising things in the preseason,
he
was also just learning the position. So it'll be interesting. And then you've got J.J. Taylor and Juwar Jordan as well, who are out there. I mean, those guys have serious size deficit issues. But like between one of those two guys, there's some intrigue there as a receiving threat. Perhaps.
It's a really interesting room all of a sudden. So we'll keep an eye on that. We may get white smoke from NRG Stadium on the Chubb signing during our show here. So we'll keep an eye on things. By the way, game 2 NBA Finals, the Thunder kind of get things straightened out. 123-107. They beat the Pacers last night. All right, up next, what is our fear factor on the possible scenarios for CJ Stroud's shoulder soreness? We even had reports Aaron Wilson had mentioned on his YouTube channel that CJ did not have surgery, but we're going to entertain the various possible scenarios. How are they feeling in Cleveland about Nick Chubb possibly coming to the Houston Texans? We've got that coming up for you as well. Stay there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.